Continue this subject, we ask thy help and thy guidance and thy blessing. We commend the meeting to thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Turn again with me to Genesis 2. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Kishon, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. But unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take hold of the tree of life, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We have details in chapter 2 and the fall in chapter 3 that we didn't get in chapter 1. The details. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, and they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So in this condition of innocence, before the sin had come in, this is the state of things described here. Then we have the details on how he created man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A never dying soul. Soul which lives and goes on forever. That's what makes it so solemn, that man, creature of God, created in his image and likeness, created by the inbreathing of God. There's only two times in Scripture that you get God breathing into man's mouth or nostrils, here and in John 20, when the risen Christ breathed into his disciples the breath of his resurrection life, wonderful, and gave them eternal life. Well, here we have natural life communicated to the first man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a never-dying soul. Heard a man speak in his foolishness, My guile goes 6 feet under, and that's the end of me. No, it's not. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Death is not the end. Death is the beginning for man of eternity. He's living in time now. When time ends for us, eternity will begin. It'll either be in the presence of the Lord forever or in the dungeons of the damned forever. Terrible thing to think of. But that's what the Word of God tells us. And then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now Eve wasn't created yet. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Must have been the most beautiful place imaginable, the Garden of Eden. Prepared of God, man was placed in it to tend it, take care of it. And then the rivers, of course, that flowed out of it. The river went out of Eden to water the garden, and it was parted into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. The gold of that land is good. There's Delium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. We don't know where they're located, but the next two we do. It says, the same as it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. Well, that identifies somewhat. And then the third river is Hiddekel, or the Tigris. We know it as the Tigris River. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates, and if you know anything about geography, you know that the Tigris and the Euphrates come together, or close together. Tigris flowed through Nineveh, and the Euphrates through Babylon, I believe. So that somewhat identifies the location of Eden. Garden of Delights, wonderful place, paradise on earth. That's what it was. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Gave him the whole run of the garden, everything that was in the garden he could eat. There was no evil fruit there. There was no evil there. Remember, when he finished the creation, he said God saw that it was very good. Everything was good. There was nothing evil about the fruit of that one tree that was forbidden to Adam. Why was it forbidden? To put him on the ground of responsibility as a creature to obey his creator. That's why it was given to Adam. You can have the whole run of the garden, you can eat of any tree, but not that one. Tree, it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why is it called that? Because by eating it, man acquired a conscience to know good and evil. He knows this is bad and this is not, and that conscience that man has tells him there are some things that are bad and some things that are good. Gives him that ability to discern between right and wrong. Man has a conscience. Now we know that the conscience can be defiled and not be a good guide, but the conscience enlightened by the Word of God is what we have as a good guide today. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is what God said to Adam. One tree forbidden him, just one. The second man, the last Adam, we had him before us in our readings, He was in the midst of all kinds of evil on every hand round about him. Never once, God forbid, the very thought that he could have, took and partook of something that was not pleasing to the Father. Everything he did was the joy and delight of the Father. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That was the second man, the last Adam, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first man had everything that was good, everything that was delicious and delightful to look upon, only one restriction, just one. And we know what happened. We'll come to that in the next chapter. Certainly, it was, I kind of liken this to what David did. He had wives in abundance. He was the king. Anything that he wanted. But he took someone else's wife. He stole what was someone else's. He lusted. He murdered. And he was dealt with severely because of that. Well, Adam and Eve isn't created yet, but Adam was told this, can have the whole fruit of the garden. It's all good. Don't eat of that one tree. That one tree. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was a positive command from God and a positive warning from God. A command not to, and a warning what would happen if he did disobey. And it was just this one act of disobedience that we'll read of in the next chapter that brought in all the misery and the sorrow and the suffering that we see round about us today. By one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. One man's disobedience. You think, children, that God, I was told not to take any cookie from the cookie jar. I'm just going to take one. Just want to see if it tastes good. And that's disobedience. And that's what brought in sin for the whole human race. Such a small thing, we would say. But disobedience is never a small thing. Disobedience brings the hand of God's government in judgment upon us. And then he says in verse 18, the Lord God had said, it says in verse 9, out of the ground that the Lord God made to grow every tree and so on. And well, I guess it's not. Yes, it's in verse 19. Let me pass verse 18 a minute. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Now let me read verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helper meet or suitable or fit for him. And then the animals are all brought. He looks them over, gives them names. But no, they wouldn't satisfy his heart. And he gives them names. But for Adam there was not found an help. An helper that was suitable for him. He needed someone that was like him, that he could relate to, that could understand him, could share his thoughts with him, whom he could love. And none of the animals satisfied that. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep, verse 21, to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now he was made out of the dust of the ground. The animals were made out of the dust of the ground. She wasn't. She was not made out of the dust of the ground. God caused Adam to sleep, and he performed the first operation on Adam. He took a rib, and he made a woman. She was made from him. I used to wonder, in reading Ephesians 5, whether he's talking about the marriage relationship there, and the husband should love his wife, and the wife should obey her husband. And then it says, we are of his flesh and of his bones. And what's he talking about? The one body or the marriage relationship? Well, the first marriage relationship, she was made from his body. And this is the only type in all of Scripture that we have that truth portrayed in type. That she was not only his wife, but she was himself. And it says that in Ephesians 5, he that loveth himself, loveth his wife, loveth himself. She's part of him. She's one with him, of his flesh and of his bones, so to speak. The very first wife, the very first woman that was created, was made, came from her husband's side, Adam. And this deep sleep, of course, is a picture of Christ going into death for us, in type. And then from his death, the church was formed, and she's part of him. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. When Saul was asked the question by the risen Lord, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Not my brethren, but me. He was his. He was one with him. And he with her. That's the wonderful truth that we see figured here in this beautiful type of the first created man and woman. All it says in the first chapter is verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the female as well as the male is man. Adam is the generic term for humanity, whether male or female. And it takes the two of them to continue the race, propagate the race. Verse 21 again, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. When he created Adam, then he created Eve from Adam. That was the most perfect human pair that's ever walked this earth. No sin, no tainted sin, created in a state of innocence, no knowledge of sin. Perfect as God created them. They must have been absolutely beautiful. The man, Adam, and the woman, Eve. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. From man. Part of man. She complements him. She fulfills him. Without him, without her, he's not complete. There's a sense in which without the church, the Lord Jesus is not complete. As to his own impeccable person, yes, he's complete. But as man, he needs a bride, just like Adam did. And so we're part of that which makes him complete. How precious. Called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the marriage union that's referred to there. There were one flesh in creation. She was created from Adam, and one flesh in marital union. They were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Sin had not entered. There was no consciousness of sin, or right or wrong. Everything was very good. There was no wrong. There was no evil. But now we read something quite different in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Is this serpent identified elsewhere? Yes, if you turn to Revelation chapter 12, we'll see that he is identified as to who he really is. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that's still future, but it identifies in the very last book, of this Bible of ours, the last book of Revelation identifies that personage with the one that enters the garden here to spoil and to destroy this beautiful creation of Adam and Eve. Now back to Genesis 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, well, I believe that this proves that the fall of Satan had already taken place. If my thought expressed this afternoon that verse 2 describes the ruined and waste and desolate condition of this world, and as a result of Satan's fall, we know that he was fallen. Now he enters the garden as a serpent. Evidently, the serpent was a beautiful creature at this time. I believe he walked in upright. I'll tell you that why in a moment. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, the woman wasn't created yet when God said that to Adam, so she had to have learned it from Adam. This is what he told me. And now he appeals to her and says, yea, hath God said, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, she wasn't there when he said that, when God said that to Adam. And so she adds something, and she adds, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent, who's a liar and a destroyer, the very epitome of evil. The whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the wicked one. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He directly contradicts the word of God. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, or as God, knowing good and evil. Yes, God knows that. His subtlety and his lie is mixed in with partial truth, and that's how he becomes so effective in deceiving man, that he mixes lies and error. He shall not surely die. That's a lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Yes, they would know good and evil now. They'd have a conscience. They would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so they would know good and evil, and they'd know how to distinguish this is good and this is evil. But they wouldn't have the power, and he didn't tell them that. You wouldn't have the power to choose the good and refuse the evil. They'd be in bondage to the evil and unable to choose the good. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, where was Adam? He was right there. Right there. She should have stepped back. Here's my husband, you talk to him. Or he should have said, step back, I'll handle this. But neither one of those things happened. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, good for food would satisfy the body, pleasant to the eyes, soul, tree to be desired to make one wise, spirit. She took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. There he was right there. Her husband was with her, and he didn't stop it. And he did eat. He enters into it with her. And so the New Testament says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam was the head. He was the responsible one of that marital pair, not the woman, but the man. He was created first. He was made the head of it. And then she was brought along to be a helper to him in his role of headship and rule of everything that was placed under their authority, his especially. So they both ate, and the eyes of them both were opened. Verse 7. And they knew that they were naked. They had a conscience now. They had the sense that we should be clothed. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. A man has been doing that through the centuries, sewing his fig leaves, trying to cover his nakedness, and God sees right through it. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They had a bad conscience prior to this fall. They didn't have one, but now they have a conscience that tells them they have sinned and disobeyed God. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Of course, the Lord knew where he was. But the question was put so as to awaken the conscience in Adam of where he had fallen. The next question that's asked later in the book of Genesis, what hast thou done? We usually put the what hast thou done first, and then where am I second. But the more important question is, where is man? Where is man in his unregenerate state? He's fallen. He has a bad conscience. He's hiding himself from the God he knows he cannot stand in the presence of because he's disobeyed him. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I don't know if he's blaming the woman here or God who gave him the woman. But anyway, he's passing the buck to someone else. And that's the common attitude of man who's fallen into sin. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You could read it, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's her problem. Or it could be, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's your problem. Man has been doing that ever since the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Now, she's more honest, more upright in her answer than he. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She was just plain deceived. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. That's the reason I said I thought he walked uprightly when he came into the garden. And as a result of the curse that fell on the serpent, he's been eating the dust of the ground ever since. Cursed art thou above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So Satan attacked our first earthly father and mother, our first parents. He attacked the weaker vessel, the woman. It was man's fault. And he has to bear the judgment. But now notice what God says to the serpent. I will put enmity, verse 15, between thee, speaking to the serpent, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the woman's seed, shall bruise, or the better translation is, shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel. When did that happen? That happened at the cross, when Satan, apparently victorious, got that crowd so stirred up in hatred against that blessed man that they put him to the cross and they said, crucify him, crucify him. He crushed the Savior's heel, but during that moment, his head was crushed and he was destroyed in his power. Satan has been defeated. And if you're still on Satan's side, you're on the wrong side. You're on the side of the defeated one. The Lord is the mighty victor. By all that seemed defeat, he won the meed and crown, trod all our foes beneath his feet by being trodden down. The last cry the Lord uttered with a loud voice, the first cry with a loud voice is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the last cry with a loud voice was, it is finished, he cried. The work necessary to save your precious soul is finished. And by receiving him who destroyed the power of Satan, that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Satan's defeat was at the cross. He used the woman to introduce sin into this earthly family, and Satan and Christ, God uses Christ, the seed of the woman, to destroy Satan's power. And so the woman that Satan attacked is the very one that God uses to destroy Satan, the seed of the woman. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And remember, there's enmity between Satan's seed and the woman's seed, those that belong to the woman, which are identified with Christ, they are the Lord's. And there's enmity between the two. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now that's only man's body that returns to the dust. His soul and spirit live on, and will receive a resurrection body, as we had before at the conference, and be complete in glory without sin any longer. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means life, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. He's given us suitable dress. Christ is our righteousness. And we're clothed in a robe of righteousness, and we stand before God in Christ. If you're saved, that's true of you. And that's figured here by the coats of skins. One had to die in order to provide those skins. The fig leaf apron didn't involve any death, but this does. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. There's the whole Trinity again conferring among themselves after the fall. Before the fall, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And now he says, behold, the man has become as one of us. To know good and evil, he had a conscience now. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever in a sinful state, God says, no, that would not, I would not allow that. God is too good to allow man to live forever in a state of sin. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The tree of life, Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He that dieth shall live again, and so on. He's the life. Man was shut out of it on the ground of his own responsibility to obey the commandment of God. Now God has come in grace, the person of our Lord Jesus, and he gives us life and forgiveness, and all is ours in him. The second man, the last Adam, Christ. That's the one we had before us at the conference. The first man has failed. Natural man has failed. There's a spiritual man, Christ the glory. We're going to meet him there soon. Are you saved? Are you going to be with him? Are you going to be identified with this first man that was driven out from the presence of the Lord? Second man has come that we might go into the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. Let's thank him for his word. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who went into death for us and has given us eternal life and has forgiven all our sins. We think of how the first parents were deceived. She was. And he took with his wife that forbidden fruit and brought this earthly creation into a state of sin. First man failed. Second man, last Adam, has come to deliver us from the consequences of Adam's fall and bring us into the joy and blessedness of life eternal with himself above, without sin. We give thee thanks for him, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious name.